Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am your host, Thabo Kancube. Today on Live Talk, we are looking at SADC Extraordinary Meeting. That's what was held virtually with SADC Chairman congratulating the President Emmerson Mnangagwa of holding exemplary elections that he said was held in tranquility. The meeting was, however, posted to a later date due to connectivity issues. But first, Israel's four-day ground assault on Gaza has killed thousands of Palestinians in response to the Hamas militant group's stunning October 7 attack on civilians that left about 1,400 Israelis dead. But as Israel brings the fight to this tiny, crowded strip of land, officials from Washington, Moscow, Tehran, and Ankara are weighing in. VOA's Anita Powell reports from the White House.
The White House says it welcomes the limited flow of humanitarian aid and the restoration of telecommunications in Gaza as Israel continues its ground offensive on the enclave in response to militant group Hamas's October 7th attack. The Biden administration also is repeating its warning to armed groups to stay out of the fight.
Our message to any actor seeking to exploit this conflict is don't do it. And as you all know, we have strengthened our force posture in the region. We're continually watching to make sure that any actor who might be tempted to jump in here knows that we will take very seriously our national security interests in the region, not to mention our obligation to protect our troops and our facilities that are going after ISIS in places like Iraq and Syria.
But this conflict is also exploding in the court of public opinion. Hundreds of people stormed an airport in Russia's Dagestan region over the weekend, shouting anti-Semitic slurs over the arrival of a flight from Tel Aviv. Russia's president blamed the events on foreign interference, a move Kirby dismissed as classic Russian rhetoric.
The events in Makhachkala last night were inspired, including through social networks, not least from the territory of Ukraine, by the agents of Western intelligence services.
And Turkey's president has dug in on his disagreement with the U.S.'s classification of Hamas as a terror group and has shifted blame elsewhere.
The West has the biggest responsibility for the massacre in Gaza.
Iranian officials have piled on as well. That nation's foreign minister took to the rostrum at the United Nations last week to outline their view. Iranians have also protested on the streets.
It has been 3 weeks that we have been witness to the war crimes and genocide of the occupying Israeli regime in Gaza and the West Bank of Palestine. The United States and several European countries have sided with the occupying regime of Israel without observing the UN Charter and international law.
Kirby says the White House believes there's a fine line between disagreement and discord, and says the administration is vigilant over outbreaks of anti-Semitism.
No, we believe in the right of peaceful protest, even if it's, you know, espousing ideas we don't agree with. But we don't. Nobody wants to see peaceful protest turn violent or turn dangerous the way that this mob activity did in Dagestan yesterday. So it's of concern, and it's something that we'll continue to talk about with our allies and partners.
But it's also something that increasingly the White House is facing at home, as protests, many supportive Palestinians and critical of Israel, have bubbled up at major U.S. universities in recent weeks. Anita Powell, VOA News, the White House.
Meanwhile, consumers across the globe are used to seeing some version of made in China on products they buy. Chinese goods mean low prices, something consumers like. But for local manufacturers in Nigeria, Chinese imports can mean unemployment, poverty, and inflation. Gibson Emeka has this story from Abuja, Nigeria, narrated by Vincent Makori.
Nigerian Chilaveth Okafor launched Chilaveth Designs in 2019. The entrepreneur sources all the raw materials for her unisex footwear locally. Despite her creativity and production quality, Okafor sells only about 7 to 8 pairs a week. She blames her lack of success on what she calls a flood of Chinese imported products.
When more imported ones are coming in, you see the locally made ones have little or no chance of even entering the market. Because why? Because the imported ones have already taken over the market.
China is Nigeria's largest source of imports, according to the Chinese embassy in Nigeria. Shelves are full of low-cost Chinese electronics, fashion, and other consumables. And that's what residents like Dambala Bugudu and Christopher Duro are looking for.
The quality of the China's products is high, and the product and the price is cheap. So based on my experience, I prefer China's product than Nigerian product.
We always believe that whatever coming from other country should be better.
But not everyone is just shopping for the best deals. Other Nigerians like Naomi, who only goes by her first name, prefer products made in our country.
I prefer made in Nigeria instead of China because Nigeria is our country. You understand? You know, if we in Nigeria, if we didn't patronize our own goods, then who will now come and patronize us?
Other consumers like Daniel Noafor and Sunday Oguche say Nigerian products are of higher quality.
Most of the things they import from China, most of them is inferior because they are producing it just to export it. They are not making use of it in their country.
I prefer made in Nigeria because if you make inferior for a shoemaker shop, it will last longer than all these Chinese shoes we are wearing that you wash with soap and it will fade, a day job. We call it a day job because it's not good.
Obinaya Oruakpa, an economic development analyst, believes Africa is not empowering its manufacturing sector for economic competitiveness with China.
That many African countries, especially Nigeria, do not have enough energy and power to power the manufacturing sector. You're going to have unemployment issues. You're going to have poor production processes. You're going to have high cost of production.
Economic pundits believe that the way for Africa to end its economic struggles, ranging from unemployment to inflation, is to consume what it produces. Many, like Oruakpa, are urging African governments to prioritize technological development and infrastructure to boost local production. For Gibson Emeka in Abuja, Nigeria, Vincent Makori, VOA News.
Now back to the main topic. SADC Chairperson Joao Lourenco today congratulated President Mnangagwa and King Mswati III for conducting what he termed an exemplary election in August and a month ago. He made the remarks at the start of a virtual SADC meeting, which was postponed to November 4th due to connectivity problems. His remarks came at a time the opposition in both nations is crying foul over the manner in which the elections were conducted. Zimbabwe's opposition, CCC, has described the polls as a national disaster, adding that they want free, fresh and credible elections. But the ruling party has dismissed such moves as unworkable. Let's hear what President Lourenco said today.
Allow me to congratulate His Excellency Emmerson Mnangagwa, the President of the Republic of Zimbabwe, and His Majesty Mswati III, the King of Eswatini, for the exemplary elections that were recently conducted in your countries, where tranquility and the orderly manner in which they took place constituted the major victory of democracy and contribution to peace, stability, harmony amongst all the living forces of the Republic of Zimbabwe and the Kingdom of Eswatini. Allow me to express our hope that this spirit could also be seen in the elections that will take place in the Republic of Madagascar and in the Republic, the Democratic Republic of Congo.
That was Angolan President and SADC Chairperson João Lourenço speaking virtually today. Speaking after the meeting at the State House, Zimbabwe's Foreign Affairs Minister, Frederick Shawa, said the next SADC extraordinary meeting will be held November 4th. He said today's meeting has been discontinued due to connectivity issues.
Very positive, and congratulate Zimbabwe once again. If you remember, he did congratulate His Excellency President Mnangagwa for his election when we were in New York during the UNGA. And today at the opening ceremony, he repeated that, congratulated the president again, and of course also the Kingdom of Eswatini. The meeting has ended because we were having connectivity glitches from the various destinations that we are seated in. Mm-hmm. And because of this, the meeting was becoming inconsistent in terms of audibility itself. So the chairman suggested that maybe we should defer to a meeting in person. He suggested Saturday.
That was Zimbabwe's Foreign Affairs Minister Frederick Shawa in Harare. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Today we are discussing what came out of the SADC extraordinary meeting held virtually today. To discuss this issue, we are joined by Vernon Mufambi of ZANU-PF and Lionel Kore of CCC. Welcome to Live Talk, gentlemen.
Yeah, welcome. How are you?
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. We will start with you, Mufambi. What's your take on what happened today?
Okay, thank you very much. As the Congress of the Revolutionary Party, we are excited that the SADC Summit, with one accord, acknowledged, congratulated, and appreciated Zimbabwe for conducting exemplary elections that were undoubtedly credible, free, fair, and transparent. And it is essential from the beginning to highlight the positive feedback received from other or all SADC member states regarding the transparency and the fairness of our electoral process, which serves as a testament of Zimbabwe's maturity. In democracy under the Second Republic, and also pouring cold water to the citizenry by the electoral leaders who do not have the obedient tight social contract with the masses. So, in ZANU-PF, we extend our gratitude to SADC for the diplomatic calls that they made for the removal of sanctions against our country and it's a very of people, and many of the same people down, especially in relation to the new colonial shenanigans that we lived after the Ammonite election. So that has proved itself as an anti-imperial, as a pan-African, as a reliable organization. And the summit also addressed various security issues, especially with the situation unfolding in the eastern part of DRC. And President Mnangagwa is known for his commitment to regional security cooperation. And I would like to emphasize Zimbabwe's role in promoting regional security and this means to work closely with other countries to address their common security challenges. So basically, you can say that it's clear that SADC has refused to be rewarded by authors of disorder, by soothsayers, by three counts who are bent on challenging the budget image and the institution's image. And in summary, I would like to express Zambia's commitment to upholding democratic principles, strengthening and security, and working closely with SADC members to promote peace and stability in the region, which is in line with our engagement and re-engagement policy.
Thank you there, Mr. Mfambi. Let's go to you, Lionel Kore. What's your take, and do you agree with what Mfambi has been saying?
Thank you for having me today. So it's a major blow to African democracy in the sense that you cannot authenticate a fraud election. As we all witnessed that after the election, there was a preliminary report which says the elections which were conducted in Zimbabwe fall short in terms of the constitution principles of Zimbabwe and also the constitutional principles of SADC. So it's very sad to hear that the SADC chair have congratulated President E.D. Mnangagwa to be the legitimate president of Zimbabwe. It's a major blow to democracy because the opposition party and other stakeholders didn't feel or think that the election was legitimate enough. So we're hoping that maybe SADC were going to help Zimbabwe by saying go back to elections and elect the legitimate president. Because if you check on the election activities, there was no electricity. The ballot box was starved. People did not have enough time to vote. There was no integrity or professionalism on the aspect of voter participation or vote turnout. So we prefer and would love SADC to go through every detail about election, because this is going to cause problem in the economic development of Zimbabwe if we don't have a legitimate leader, because a legitimate leader must come from the people. And as it stands right now, Zimbabwe is divided. There is no unity. People are saying ZANU-PF, people are saying CCC. So there is no unity in Zimbabwe. So we need SADC to come up on table and deal with these issues so that our country will come together and develop our country. As it stands right now, a lot of people have delusional ideas about how Zimbabwe should develop, because right now everyone is doing whatever which support personal gains.
You sound disappointed there, Kore. What were your expectations? And maybe since the meeting is continuing on Saturday, what are the expectations? What do you look forward to having SADC making decisions on? What do you think SADC should do?
Okay, it's not a matter of a big man of politics. It's a matter of Zimbabwe and Africa as a whole continent. We need to be united, and SADC should help us to unite as people. Our leaders are broken on the top. Our leaders are divided. So how are we going to develop this nation while at least we have two different opinions in nation building? Others are saying CCC won the election. Others are saying ZANU-PF won the election. Because as you look at SADC preliminary report, it says the election fell short in the principles of constitution. So how then do you support President E.D. Mnangagwa to carry on with nation building, why is there are problems around
his legitimacy. So I would like SADC to bring two parties on table, CCC and ZANU-PF, so that they can talk and come up with a solution to deal with the problem of Zimbabwe, because the masses are suffering. A lot of people are suffering because of fraud elections. We don't like vote rigging. We don't like manipulated elections. We want election which is legitimate, and we want people to agree with the results of the election. As it stands right now, SADC should go deeper and come up with the adequate solution to solve this problem, because it's really a disappointment to appoint or to say President Mnangagwa won the election after all the charges which are surrounding the election.
Mufambi, do you agree with Lionel to say there is a problem that needs to be solved? He spoke about two things here. He says there is need for dialogue between CCC and ZANU-PF, and he says there is a problem that needs to be solved. Do you agree that there is a problem in Zimbabwe?
Certainly, as a party, don't agree, and personally, I don't agree with their manager. The sheer display of unscholarly ignorance by my colleagues, because he doesn't know the role of SADC. SADC is making a research, or certainly a research for that matter. And for information, SADC is there to assist member countries to make sure that we try and enforce democratic principles. And SADC has done its role. What is left now is for the opposition, which is structureless. Actually, the problem that we have is a structureless opposition, an opposition that is in serious implosion, an opposition that is fighting itself. So they should actually have dialogue amongst themselves first, before they come and join the Pollard, because the only other avenue for them to come and dialogue with Zanu-PF is through Pollard, because this is the making of the government. And to add, there is no crisis in Zimbabwe, all those things that he is mentioning are oversimplification of methods, and I think maybe it comes from ignorance of sector, and we can't blame them for that. What is important is,
I hear you there. Kore, what's your take on his response? Would you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I would love to say there's a problem in Zimbabwe right now, because if you look at political prisoners, there are so many political prisoners in Zimbabwe. People are living behind a poverty line because of illegitimate president. If you go through the Zimbabwean situation, you'd find out that there was coup in Zimbabwe back then. But what did the SADC do to deal with that coup? So we are living in the consequences of the coup. So everything in Zimbabwe right now is on standby. So only the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Why? Because the ruling party have neglected the opposition party. If we oppose the government, it doesn't mean we are not Zimbabweans. We are opposing to ideas. We are opposing to your principles. So in this case, we have to be included in nation building. It's not a ZANU-PF thing. It's a Zimbabwean thing. We have to grow as Zimbabweans. We have to develop as Zimbabwe, as Africa. So SADC should help us like brothers, because we feel like we are not capable enough to fight against dictatorship or misrule of ZANU-PF, just because if we try to speak out, we are arrested, we are being killed, we are being abducted, we are being tortured. There are several cases of people who are being abducted on a daylight view. So we prefer SADC to bring all the stakeholders on tape, all the civil societies to come together and develop our nation, besides saying ZANU-PF or CCC or MDC, as Zimbabweans, let's develop this country. We are divided. We are not united. There are people who support ZANU-PF who doesn't want to see CCC. There are people who support CCC who doesn't to see ZANU-PF. That's not how the country should be built. We have to understand each other. If we differ in ideas, we have to come up with an adequate solution and adequate ideas to build our nation. As it stands right now, there is a problem in Zimbabwe. The election was not legitimate enough. People are crying right now. we have people, members of parliament, who have been recalled in parliament because of fictitious charges, because of a silly game of politics. That's not politics. Politics is about allocating resources for the poor. As it stands right now, ZANPF is allocating resources for ZANPF. Why not Triple C's? Why not other civil societies? Why not other members? We have to come together if you declare yourself as a winner. After all, we are all Zimbabweans. Bring us together at one table and let's build our country besides these political gains.
Yes, Mfambi, we hear there he continued to emphasize the issue that we are Zimbabweans. We are one, and we are supposed to come together and develop the country. He also raised an issue around human rights. He also spoke about people being arrested, people from the opposition. Would you want to respond to that? He's saying there is need for dialogue because of these issues around human rights, around people being arrested, especially people from the opposition, Triple C.
Okay. It's laughable that my colleague here is suffering from semantic diarrhea because you can't call a person who has committed the crime a political prisoner. A political prisoner is understood to be a person who is arrested for their beliefs, for their political beliefs. But these people were not arrested for facts. They were arrested for committing other crimes in the name of politics. And the law should actually take this call. We should be a democrat and allow the law to take its call. So basically, you even mentioned about us being Zimbabweans. I think you know that it's one of the sanity of cardinal points, that unity is one of our cardinal points. That is why we established POLAC. That's why our government and President Emmerson Mnangagwa established POLAC, to make sure that we try and bring together all political actions. But it is actually the opposition which is ever fragmenting. I think it's public knowledge that the opposition is always fragmenting, and they are not even expressing unity among themselves. How do they talk about national unity when they can't even unite among themselves? So basically, there is no crisis in Zimbabwe. There is no problem in Zimbabwe. The only other problem that is in Zimbabwe is artificial poverty that is induced by sanctions. Sanctions that these opposition parties are peddling, sanctions that these opposition parties are going to call for against their own motherland. And you can actually realize that the opposition, from what he says, is continuously suffering because of lack of ideology. It's ideologies, it's officeless, it's accountless, nothing. So basically, what there is a problem is infant opposition, a kindergarten opposition, not that you have a problem as a ruling party or as a country or as a people. ZANPF is working to forge the economic progress. NDS 1, NDS 2 are what we are focused on, not these 30 games that they're trying to blame us on.
Thank you.
I can say, as a party, we are not concerned about the field again. We are focused about the economic question of the country.
Thank you, Mfambi. It seems we have lost Kore there, but maybe I would want you to respond to one last question. What are your expectations for the Saturday meeting?
Our expectation for the Saturday meeting, I think we know that the basis for today's summit was not Zimbabwe, because the chairman had to only mention Zimbabwe in passing to acknowledge how we held the election in an exemplary and peaceful way. But the major issue is actually...
Thank you, Mfambi. I would like to thank the two gentlemen for joining us today. It has been a good discussion, and thank you so much. That brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I am Thabo Kancube.